This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
So I'll probably hate it.
Alrighty. From the Tom Fair Tire Studio, it is Felger and Maz here on 98.5 of Sports Hub, 98.5 of Sports Hub app, which is a free download on your iPhone or Android device. And of course, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. No Felger, no Maz today, as both of them had the foresight to take most of this week off. A hard lesson learned for both producer Jimmy Stewart, who's back there with Billy Lanny, and myself. And as Jimmy and I both agreed pre-show, we will never, ever work this week again. Is that right, Jimmy?
I co-sign. You're right, Murray.
Yeah, you're right, Murray. You're right. Yeah, boy. I realize. I'm like, why have I been so angry? Well, one, I've been sick for like a week. Nothing worse than being sick in the summer. But, of course, in some karmic way, I'm sure I deserve it. But the other thing.
You
too, do. I was like, why am I so angry? Oh, I remember. Because I had this week off last year. Because I took my typical vacation I take with my friends last year at this time. It usually falls at different points of the summer. It just strategically fell around 4th of July, but I've learned my lesson, and Jimmy has as well. So, yeah, instead, you get me, Big Jim Murray, alongside Sean Silver for the next 5 hours, that, of course, including the baseball reporters. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hey, nice to see you.
You as well, my
friend. Well, don't lie. I mean, you feel miserable.
I do. More than usual. I mean, I'm at a, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, my misery is usually at a base of, like, 6.
Okay.
It's much higher.
Pretty standard.
You're at an 11 right now.
It's true. It's been that way for a good
Can week. We have a repeat of your Saturday show with Gasper? That thing was tremendous. Some
was
of
golden.
Your best work ever.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I have saved it. I have archived it. We've made fun of it. It was great work.
Yeah, we'll put it in for a Marconi. It's going to be close to that because, fair warning, right off the top, Jimmy, this is not going to be your typical Felger and Maz sportsy sports fest this afternoon. It's just not. And it's simply because many of the stories that have been bandied about over the last 5 to 7 days do absolutely nothing for me. They glaze me over in boredom just like that. To put it another way, do backup goalie talk on your own time. You know, if you have a podcast, you're an aspiring professional broadcaster, you want to get into sports radio, talk about it there on a podcast that no one will listen to. If I don't want to hear, like, you know, what do you make about the Bruins signing Yaroslav Halak to a 2-year deal? Okay, it's pretty simple. He's going to back up Rask, and he's a solid backup, and he can start for stretches. What else is there to say beyond that? Okay, so I can't really do much of that today. It's going to be loose. It's July 5th. Everyone's on vacation, and rightfully so. So we'll just see where the next 4 to 5 hours takes us. Is that good, Sean? Jimmy, are we all good with that? Yeah?
Works
yeah.
for me.
All right, excellent.
Yeah, but is he going to be an involuntary practice?
Yeah. So one of the things I haven't had a chance to discuss that actually broke late, yeah, it's a conspiracy, on Tuesday, July 3rd, is Julian Edelman's 4-game suspension. Mm. That is being upheld, news of which, again, came down late Tuesday night. I don't think that there is any kind of a conspiracy behind the timing of the news. It's just as simple as the NFL hates their players, especially star players like Julian Edelman, getting popped for PEDs. I don't think it's anything beyond that. I don't think they're trying to put the screw to the Patriots. I don't think it's a Ginger Hammer Goodell conspiracy or anything of that nature. The suspension being upheld, I don't think it should come as a surprise to anybody. I think he did it. I don't hold that against him or anyone else in that league that's trying to get back from a catastrophic knee injury at 32 years old like Edelman is. They're trying to get back out of the field as quickly as possible. So you take PEDs or something to juice yourself up so you can get out there. That's the league. That's sports. I'm never going to finger wag any professional athlete about that. The thing I didn't like about it, there's two things I don't like about it, is that I think Edelman looks foolish in fighting this thing, Sean, on a technicality. He publicly claimed he had no idea what he had done when this news first broke. Back like a month ago, right? Is this when this first came out, like a month ago?
It's the old David Ortiz defense.
Well, right. But then he appeals, but the appeal is not the notion that he didn't do anything. This is where it's like, okay, like, we get it. And I don't think most sports fans, especially NFL fans, like, really care that guys are taking something. Like, again, coming off a catastrophic knee injury, you got to do something to get back in less than a year. But the appeal wasn't on the notion that he didn't do anything. Like, he's basically admitting, like, yeah, I did it, but I want to try to get off here in a technicality. The appeal made him look guilty because he was only appealing on the basis of loopholes, two of which, like, someone screwed up the paperwork or got mustard on it, or some other goofy notion that the substance itself was new and not recognized by the league's testers. It's to use, to put it to drugs, or weed, something that I know, as they refer to me as Dr. Weed on this show often. It's like, that spice or K2 isn't technically an illegal drug because the exact chemical structure isn't the same as marijuana, right? So this is almost what he's fighting it on. And that's silly. Like, it's, you're guilty, dude. Like, you did it. You did it. You're trying to get off on a technicality, much like Richard Sherman did 4 or 5 years ago. So again, him getting popped and this thing holding at 4 games, I don't think should come as a surprise. What I want to talk about and what I find interesting about it, and particularly kind of annoying, a tweet from Tom Curran that followed this story when it broke late Tuesday night. And if you haven't seen it, it reads as follows. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. With suspension upheld by arbitrator, Julian Edelman now faces decision to accepting or push on if he feels arbitrator erred in overlooking procedural missteps. May not be over yet. Those 5 words at the end are what annoy me. May not be over yet. So are we going to go to court over this now? Is this going to be, we're going to do this now? Just accept your guilt. You got popped for this. Let's not do this and drag this team through the mud and fans and all of us through the mud again and having this go to the high courts and trying to fight this. You got popped. You lost. Stop fighting.
Yeah.
So no pushback from you on this.
I got nothing to say for the next 5 hours, Jim.
All right, good.
I agree with everything. Right. I talked with my wife about this morning. That you may say, what qualifies her to give you an opinion on this story? She is actually
works in the medical field.
Works in the federal court system for a First Circuit judge. So when the Brady thing came up, I of course went to her on that and got some clarification on, you know, what exactly is the basis of this? Are they going to listen to this, or is this poo-poo rubbish? Obviously, we saw what happened with Brady. This is the kind of thing where if you got the time and you got the money, you can get in front of a judge. Now, are you going to be able to prove any of that? That's a bit more dubious. But it is interesting when I haul my lawyer wife into conversations about sports, and it happens quite a bit, particularly with the Patriots.
Yeah, my hope is just to save face here. Let's just move on. And the thing is, too, just from the football standpoint, again, looking at that schedule, and I think that the team's actually, you know, there's a lot of holes still there defensively. I still have questions about this team. I don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl, but because they play in the AFC East, because they still have the best coach and quarterback combination maybe in league history, or at least now, they're going to fall out of bed and be 11-5 at worst. So is the Edelman suspension, now that it's been upheld, really going to hurt them through those first 4 games, looking at it, against Houston, at Jacksonville, at Detroit, and against Miami? Two extremely difficult games there right off the top. Houston, as long as Deshaun Watson's going to be healthy, which I believe he's going to be in week one, tough game there. And then at Jacksonville, who gave you everything that they had last year, and their defense might be the best in the league. So those first 2 games, difficult. But at worst, with Edelman out now that it's official, again, providing he doesn't fight this thing and look like a complete a-hole, at worst, Sean, I think they'll be 2-2. They were able to obviously get to the Super Bowl without him last year. Now that they have a dynamic running back in Sony Michel, the pick that I loved, which I typically get mocked for here when Felger and Maz are here, the running backs are certainly going to be more involved in the passing game. You got to think that Gronk is going to be healthy and dialed in. Well, that last powered, I hope. They're still going to be able to get by without Edelman in that first month. They'll be all right.
Well, on paper, absolutely. And, I mean, you think about the Patriots. They're always able to game plan for an absence. But you do have a thin receiving core, certainly compared to last year with now Cooks gone.
Oh, the depth there stinks. Like, yeah, that's another area I'm not too high on.
So it really does make you wonder. I mean, and I pose this to you, Jim. What if they are 1-3 somehow? What if, you know, you take a couple of tough road games and maybe Detroit or Miami steals one?
Well, the Miami game's at home. The only two.
Detroit's on the road.
It's at Jacksonville
Texas,
and at Detroit.
And at Jacksonville.
Yeah.
On the road.
So
say, what if the Lions steal one?
Hey, look.
How are you feeling at 1-3 to start your season?
I'd be out of my mind about it. I would be bitching about it, but I still think.
You just don't see it.
As long as Brady stays healthy and they get the running backs involved, like, they'll still finish 11-5 at worst this year. Like, okay, it might be ref sledding to start the year. It was last year. Hell, there was a stretch there. I was like, this team might struggle to get 10-6, especially when you have Stephon Gilmore running all over the place, lost, and guys are running free for 76-yard touchdowns. Like, there was points earlier in that first month and a half of that season that I thought that team was basically going to kind of suck. And they still got to the Super Bowl, even though their defense mostly did suck for most of the year.
And that, of course, coming on the heels of some 19-0 talk during the summer.
Oh, so. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Do Gunner talk on your own time. So, like I said, it's got to be loose today. There are some NBA items that I do want to touch on as well. Having Sean Silver here. Sean, I know that that is your number one sport, your official hoop head. I know you have some strong thoughts on what's going on in NBA free agency. I am now 100% officially out on Kawhi Leonard, thanks to a story from Sham Sharania of Yahoo Sports. We'll touch on that coming up. And, of course, want to hear from you at 617-779-0985. And, in fact, why don't we start with Mike in the car here, who has a comment for me here on Phil Grimes. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike. It said Murray's negativity. Well, you had your shot there, fella. If you'd like to try back, we have open phone lines, and Lord knows I'm sure there will be many this afternoon, considering it's July 5th, and most of the region is rightfully on vacation. Again, something, note to self. In fact, let me grab a pen or pencil. Maybe I should just tattoo it on myself, considering I'm heavily tattooed. Maybe I'll just add this to my thigh or leg, Sean.
Left.
Yeah, I have space on my legs, Jimmy. Make sure to never work the week of 4th of July ever. And who put this? The other thing, too, make sure this holiday falls on a Monday or Friday. Can we have that? Like Thanksgiving, always on a Thursday. 4th of July should always go into the weekend or be at the ass end of a weekend.
Yeah.
It falling on a Wednesday, whoever made that happen should be thrown off a cliff.
The heck with this Gregorian calendar. I mean, it's only been screwing up society for 200 plus years.
Right, Sean. All right. We're off and running here. The Edelman story, if you want to weigh in on that, where you think this team is going to be now without him, now that it's officially he is going to be whacked here these four games, again, providing he doesn't fight this thing and take it to court. Don't do it, Julian. Don't do it. If Brady tried and he failed, you will too. 617-779-0985, you want to talk about that. And, of course, we'll come back and get into some of this NBA stuff as well. Kawhi Leonard, I'm out on. Officially out on, thanks to a story from Sham Sharon and I on Yahoo Sports. We'll touch on that. Coming up here, Felger and Maz. Without Felger and Maz today, it's Big Jim, Ari, and Sean Silver, and you here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. No Felger, no Maz today. So you got yours truly, Big Jim Murray and Sean Silver. And you at 617-779-0985. Opened up talking mostly about Julian Edelman's suspension being upheld. That news coming in late, I keep wanting to say Friday. I'm all screwed up with what the days are. Late Tuesday night, July 3rd. It's a conspiracy. I don't think there's anything like that. There was a bit of a news dump in terms of suspensions for the NFL. Most of Tuesday, the Edelman one came late, right around 7:10 or 7:30-ish. It was all a matter of time. I'm not surprised that it was upheld, considering he was trying to fight the damn thing on a loophole, a couple of loopholes, like someone got mustard or barbecue sauce on the paperwork, and that's how it got screwed up. It sounded a lot like what Richard Sherman did in fighting his PED suspension, what, 5-6 years ago, and granted, he got off. But it's been upheld. Please don't fight it. There's word, or at least speculation from those that cover the team, like Tommy Karn of NBC Sports Boston, that Edelman could take this to court and fight this. You're going to lose again. Just take the L, Edelman. It's four games. And the other thing, too, and I see a lot of people bitching about this, well, if Jameis Winston, who has a record of assault and is a bad guy, he gets whacked only three games for what he did to the Uber driver a couple of years ago, and Edelman gets four games. I know it's out of whack, but the suspensions for PEDs are written into the CBA. I know it sucks. I know the league stinks. But the unfortunate thing is, and it looks as shady as the day is long, with the Winston case, he went and kissed Goodell's ring. He admitted fault. He didn't try to fight it. So that's why he got whacked only three games and not six or more like Ezekiel Elliott last year. It's awful. It's a terrible look for the league. But there's nothing you can really do about it. With PED suspensions, it's written into the CBA. It sucks. I understand your frustration there, but that's nothing you can really fight. Something I wanted to touch on in terms of NBA stuff, and Sean, we'll spend a lot of time with you talking NBA offseason stuff and free agency from this week, including, I haven't seen you since our mutual friend Patrick's wedding, but LeBron going to L.A.
How about
and,
that?
Some of the other moves and what's going on with the Celtics and maybe their continued interest in Kawhi Leonard. I am out on Kawhi Leonard. I'm officially out on this guy simply based on a story that popped up. It was actually an appearance of Sham Sharania of Yahoo Sports did on FS1's Colin Cowherd show, in which he said simply that he might not have any interest in trying to join the L.A. Lakers, Kawhi Leonard. He'd like to go to the L.A. Clippers. The L.A. Clippers, as irrelevant a franchise there is in the NBA and all of sports. He might as well have said he'd like to go to the Orlando Magic or the Denver Nuggets, or at least the Nuggets are on the upswing.
Well, they just signed future star Avery Bradley.
Oh, right. Okay. Loved Bradley. Good role player here. Good fit for him. But that team is irrelevant. It shows me that he just wants to go to L.A. just for, I don't know, just to go out where he grew up. He wants to try to build up his brand a little bit, but it's not about winning. If you want to join the Lakers, you want to join LeBron, you want to try to win a championship, another one. If you want to try to be traded to the 76ers, the Boston Celtics, you're about winning. You actually want to try to win a championship. This guy quit on his team last year. He only played nine games. He quit on arguably the best coach in the NBA, or maybe of the last 25, 30 years, maybe of all time, at least in the top five, and Greg Popovich. He was cleared medically to play and still quit, again, on Popovich and his teammates. And now you're telling me you want to go play for the LA Clippers, where it's certainly not about winning there, not with what they have. Like, that is, that's, that shows an inherent gutlessness to me with Kawhi Leonard. And I already thought there was way too many red flags with this player as it was with everything that happened last year with the Spurs. But he wants to go to the Clippers? That's such a loser look to me that I'm good. Like, if that's what that guy's ultimately about, it's about getting to California and going back to your hometown of LA, but you don't want to go to the Lakers and actually try to win. Dude's a loser. Like, I'm good. I don't care that he was the finals MVP 5 years ago. I don't care how talented he is on both sides of the floor. I see that coupled with how I feel about all those red flags last year. I want the Celtics. I want no part of Kawhi Leonard and the Celtics trying to go after him.
Yeah, keeping with the trend of just agreeing with you all day long, Jim, I'm all set with Leonard too, but probably for a different reason. I mean, I think there's been a number of unsavory characters, you know, who've done one thing or another who've been discussed as coming to the Boston Celtics over the last, you know, decade or pretty much history of the team. And we've said, all right, yeah, bring him in. They can play, bring him in. This is a guy who averaged 25 points a game. He's an all-NBA defensive player. So I think there are some ways that you can overlook that. I mean, if he really does lack guts, then yeah, that's a problem in this market, as we've seen with some people. But it's interesting to me that, well, the reason that I guess I'm out on it is because that's a move to me that you just make, you're making just to make. And I feel like the Celtics, you know, I don't want to endorse the Stan Pat movement or say that they need to wait out the Golden State Warriors dynasty or any of those things. I feel like they need to make a reasonable attack at it, but that's just it. Is this a logical plan, giving up on your future? And that's the entire nature of prospects and young guys and assets in the NBA or in any sport. But are you giving up on that for what looks very much to be 1 year of this guy? And that raises another question. The news about Kyrie to New York, but we'll get to that. Interesting to me that, of course, Shams Charania comes out with news, and Wojnarowski has to have the exact opposite report from his source, which is that he wouldn't want to go head-to-head with LeBron in L.A., and therefore would be a candidate to join the Lakers. But both of them saying that Boston is out, and that does make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, and I don't think that has anything to do with it, that Kawhi doesn't want to go head-to-head with LeBron. Like, you'd have to do that anyway. Even if you ended up in the East,
yeah,
odds are, I mean, maybe, well, look, Golden State's still the, you
you're
know,
going head-to-head with somebody who's better than you.
Yeah, so it makes no sense to me. That reeks to me of he just wants to get to L.A. It's not really about winning. It's about comfort. He wants to get close to home. He wants to have a bigger shoe deal, and he wants to have more of a presence. Well, dude, like, you basically have that already in San Antonio, which has a winning culture, but you quit on them. That he wants to go to the Clippers, and I trust Shams certainly more than Adrian Wojnarowski. I know, Jimmy, you
Thank
feel
you.
The same way. And have your sources said anything? Has there anything been bubbling here in NBA circles in your underground sources over the last couple of days?
I think the Celtics offered Kyrie Irving and a number one pick for Kawhi Leonard, but
back in February?
We don't know.
I don't know if that was the last offer a few weeks ago before it seems everything was patched up. I still think Kawhi Leonard is going to end up a member of the Phoenix Suns, and that's just a perfect place for him. What a loser player.
Yeah, I have lost so much respect for this guy. Again, look, when he won the finals MVP 4 or 5 years ago, it's like, okay, you want to make a case for Kawhi Leonard being a top five player in the NBA? You'll get no argument from me. And the talent is there, but quit. There is also quit and inherent gutlessness.
I think if you were to tell me what LeBron James' wish list for the Lakers, I think Kawhi Leonard's on it, but I think he's further down on the list. I think his wish list is Jimmy Butler, Damian Lillard, and probably somebody that I'm forgetting.
All right, so add this to the conversation as well if you want to join us, 617-779-0985. We'll start off with, here he is. Mike in the car is back again. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, sorry about that earlier.
Oh, good.
My fat face hit the mute button. So I didn't realize it.
Well, go ahead, sir.
Go.
Well, yeah, you mentioned earlier about you are the most annoying. Listen, let me start by saying I get it, okay? You have a role, and you get people to hate you and call it. But honestly, man, you know what you lack? Perspective. You lack perspective. You come on the air, and you're all negative about not being happy to be there. You're 4-hour shift. You got people out here that are in the heat, working hard. You know, and you're going to complain about being in an AC studio for 4 hours talking sports?
Oh no, Mike.
5 hours.
I get the perspective. Believe me, I understand the luck. And if you want to use what's the old cliche, this is the toy store of life here. It's not really a job and all that and blah 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 blah. I understand that. Believe me, I have perspective. I was waiting tables not even 5 or 6 years ago, and believe me, this considering it's radio and my track record, I'm sure I'll be back there within the next 5 years as well, Mike. So yes, I get the perspective. But I, being an American, and a good one at that, part of being an American is bitching about being at work when you feel like you should have taken vacation and you're sick and whining and complaining. That's the American way, no matter what your job is, even if you're lucky to have a cool job like this one. So, yes, I have perspective, but thank you for the call. Let's go to Robin Revere on Kawhi Leonard. Hi, Rob.
What's going on, guys? I agree with you totally. Kawhi Leonard, I don't want him, all right? He's going to complain about a winning culture. Why take him on? Plus, I think we already have the roster to take on the Warriors. I think we might have a better position-wise roster than the Warriors. You go Irving versus Curry, I take Irving. We've not seen in the finals. You got Jalen versus Clay. All right. Well, Jalen's going to get up there, and you know what? Jalen's going to do a decent job on Clay if they face off, and he always does against the Golden State Warriors. You got Tatum versus Durant. Yeah, all right. We'll go Durant there. That's an obvious. Then you got Gordon Hayward versus Draymond Green. I think Gordon Hayward's going to take him to town. And then Al Horford, if he could stop Joel Embiid, he could stop Boogie Cousins all day. By the way, the bench with Rozier, and when Smart comes back, because I know he's going to come back better than Iggy and whoever else they got on the Warrior team. I just want to hear what you guys got to say about it. God bless. Happy Fourth.
Hey, you as well, Rob. They're the clear-cut favorite out of the East, and I think they'd give the Golden State Warriors a competitive series as of right now. I mean, as it was. They came within a game of the finals last year without Gordon Hayward and without Kyrie Irving. And if they just stopped chucking up threes and maybe went to Jason Tatum a little bit more, they get into the finals, and maybe it's a 5 or 6-game series. I think it would have been competitive there, too. Yeah, as presently constituted, you don't really have to do all that much. I was actually for Boogie Cousins maybe joining this team. You know, there was that talk that there might have been some interest there before he ended up signing with the Golden State Warriors.
For that price, you mean?
Yeah, for that.
Or the mid-level, something
similar?
Yeah,
for relatively short money. And the fact that I think you're going to get this guy back coming off, you know, a brutal injury. So you're not going to get him until January with the Achilles injury. And that he's going to be playing for a big contract next summer. I think you would actually be able to get the best out of DeMarcus Cousins in this organization, with a really good coach, surrounded by this, excellent teammates, and a legitimate chance to win a ring as well, like he's going to get in Golden State, I think you'd get good Boogie Cousins. So I was for that. Low risk, high reward there. But other than that, like, I don't really think that this team actually has to make a big change going forward, do you? Like, this is another reason I was kind of anti-Kawhi Leonard.
Right, I agree. I think the only thing that could cause a huge move here, and who knows what, I mean, we went to August last year with Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, you know, still as parts of the Boston Celtics. So you don't know what's up Ainge's sleeve at any particular time, but I'm in agreement with you on that. The only thing I think that hovers is Kyrie Irving's contract situation, and it may for the entire year, but even if it does the entire year next year, you got Kyrie Irving here putting up 25 points a game with the amazing laid-back, you know, easy style that he has.
If he can stay healthy.
Beautiful to watch. If he can stay healthy, which is, again, a question. Lots of questions about that guy.
Well, and his name continues to be linked to the New York Knicks. So we will get into that along with your phone calls. Anything Julian Edelman related, as that suspension's been upheld. And Kawhi Leonard and any of the NBA offseason talk as well. It's 617-779-0985. But is there a real reason to worry about Kyrie Irving going to the New York Knicks this time next year? We'll get into that right after the Hub headlines here with Sean Silver. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ah, yes, darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. Absolute horror. Not Gaspar and Murray. Felger and Maz.
Tomorrow.
Gaspar Murray here tomorrow and then Saturday. See, I'm all screwed up with the holiday and what day it is.
Oh, we got Gaspar here tomorrow?
It's true.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
That is true. Are you
for the whole time?
Yes, yeah.
See, that is, and, you know, not just blowing smoke up your behind here, but that is my favorite hour of radio all week when Gaspar joins you guys all together.
And then, so that'll be just a recreation.
Yeah, Chris adds the smarts to the program. And on Saturdays when he's in with me from 11 to 2 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. No, it's Felger and Maz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. But no Mike and Tony today, so you have yours truly sliding over to the A-hole chair. It's Big Jim Murray alongside Sean Silver and you at 617-779-0985. We've been heavy on the Edelman suspension being held up just a couple of days ago. That news coming right before the 4th of July. And some of the NBA offseason talk and Kawhi Leonard saying he wants to go to L.A., but not to the Lakers. The Clippers? The Clippers. We'll also touch on this Kyrie Irving story and how he's linked once again to the New York Knicks in just a moment. But back to the phones we go. Cam and Taunton on Julian Edelman. Go ahead.
How's it going, guys? I'm telling you this right now, Jim. First of all, Jim, I commend you for working this week. I mean, just because it's a holiday doesn't mean you have the right to take a week off every holiday. I commend you for being here.
Thank you, Cam.
So I just want to say this. They're starting 0-3. Because Houston is a terrible matchup for them. If Bill O'Brien knows how to call a timeout, and if Brock Osweiler doesn't play the worst game ever played by a quarterback in the playoffs 2 years ago, they beat you the last two times you play. Jacksonville's the best team in the NFL. I know Bortles, but Bortles had a 10-point lead on you in the AFC Championship game. And, oh, this guy named Danny Amendola, who God forbid you actually pay that man, helps you get out of it. And Detroit's a tough team at home against your former defensive coordinator, a very good offense, and your defense is still wretched. They're starting 0-3. They're starting 1-3 because they'll beat Miami with their eyes closed. But they are starting 0-3.
All right, yeah, look, it could be that ugly, and I'm mostly with you. Like, I it's tough, you know, when you want to argue for Jacksonville, because I'm mostly with you. I think their defense is the best in the NFL, and you're right. Like, you know, if it wasn't for Danny Amendola and that 17-yard reception on third down, could be a different story, right? So it's tough, though, when you get to Blake Bortles. You get to the quarterback, and it's like, oh, right, yeah, they still have him. But either way, say they do start 0-3, like you say, where do you ultimately think that this team ends up next year?
10-6, winning the division and losing wild card weekend.
Wow. All right. Harsh criticism from Cam and Taunton with his thought of the day on the Patriots. I don't think they'll be that bad. There's going to be a drop-off. I don't expect the Patriots to get back to the Super Bowl. Yes, I know the AFC mostly sucked, but I think there's going to be a drop off there. I still think that this bad blood between Belichick and Brady is going to continue. Look, they've been able to compartmentalize here over the last season or so, especially last year, especially towards the run of the Super Bowl. And they've been able to figure it out. I just don't like what they've done on defense or lack thereof. Dante Hightower goes down. You're still thin there. There's still a lot of holes on this team. Competition's going to be better. Jacksonville, you know, I think is a legitimate threat. Houston, I think is a legitimate threat as long as Deshaun Watson stays healthy. I don't see it, Sean. I don't see them getting back to the Super Bowl this year. It so rarely happens.
Yeah,
absolutely. You have the back-to-back years like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and we're just so spoiled. And, you know, we even look, as you mentioned, you know, we even look at the last few years where the Patriots have, you know, had relatively the same expectations going into every single season, you know, 13-3 in the Super Bowl, right? And this time, not only do you take a little bit of the shine off of those expectations, but you face the realities of finally other teams around you getting better, and just the fact that repeating is very, very, very hard.
But 10-6 out wild card weekend, man, I'm not even that negative. I can't even be that
no.
negative. No, let's
yeah,
go.
People may call you negative, Jim.
Yeah,
not that negative.
Paul in the car and DeMarcus Cousins. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, what's up, man? Big fan of yours.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, I was pissed we didn't end up with Cousins. I think Felger said it best when he said, what's the point of having a great culture if you can't absorb, like, not very good good culture?
Yeah, I'm malcontent, an a-hole. This is why I've always been bring me the a-hole at DeMarcus Cousins. The guy can basically put up 30-10 a night at stretches. I love the talent. I know he's mostly been an out-of-shape slub for most of his career. I think that a guy like that who would be coming in, again, on basically a half year, coming off an injury, needing to prove himself and wanting to get paid next summer, low risk, high reward potentially with DeMarcus Cousins. I know that there's those like Jimmy Stewart that feel like you would be altering your culture if you brought in the a-hole like DeMarcus Cousins, but I don't know. I thought you believed in Brad Stevens and his ability to maybe corral a player.
Not
like
with
that.
This guy.
You think he's that bad, Jimmy?
Yeah, him, Carmelo, I think they're terrible influences. And Robert Williams, I'm a little bit concerned of, but he's a rookie, so we'll
yeah,
see. But I don't
malleable.
Like it. I don't like these two things, and I wouldn't be surprised if we found out that the Celtics really did make an offer, and it was an offer higher than the Golden State Warriors.
So here's the thing with Kyrie Irving. Here's the latest. ESPN's Ian Begley reported Wednesday that several NBA executives expect Irving to consider the Knicks if he opts out and becomes a free agent next summer. Obviously not much of a surprise there, considering he grew up in New Jersey. He's been linked there before, at least towards the end of his time in Cleveland last year. But I just, you know, so look, I'm going to be consistent with what I said about Kawhi Leonard. I have to be consistent with Kyrie Irving. Look, in any professional sports, Sean, like, I will never damn the player. Get that money while you can. You know, you have a short shelf life, and try to take advantage of your name and you know, and your time in your respective league while you can. Get that money. But I also respect guys that do want to win. So if I'm going to get on Kawhi Leonard for wanting to potentially go to a place like the LA Clippers, which is Loserville, irrelevant, I have to do the same for Kyrie Irving. Maybe want to go to the Knicks. The Knicks, I get it. Like, it's a bigger market in terms of, well, you know, you being able to sell yourself.
Madison Avenue.
Yeah, it's Madison Avenue. Yeah. It's Madison Square Garden. It's, you know, the Knicks.
Madison Square Garden, the arena that houses a team that hasn't won a title since 73.
Right. But
it hasn't won a playoffs or one playoff series in the last 18 years.
And so, I mean, so maybe he wants to make the case of trying to put that team, which was one of the jewels of the NBA, and still kind of is, even though they've been one of the dregs of the league, like, you know, having them back on the map. But still, like, to go back there now? All they really have is the unicorn in, and why am I dropping a blank there? And
Kristaps Porzingis. Yeah.
Thank you. So they have Porzingis. They got a new coach in David Fizdale. So maybe there's, you know, going to be a bit of a turnaround there. But still, that's like one of the lesser outposts in the NBA right now. To want to go to the Knicks, I have to question your compete level and your guts. Like, if you'd want to go there, like, here, you have your best chance to win another title. Like, what the hell are you thinking?
Well, it's the New York dream. I mean, and we've been hearing about this forever as this team has just floundered under James Dolan. You know, we heard it when they signed Allen Houston to a long-term extension and then his legs gave out. You know, we heard it when they brought in Eddie Curry and Jared Jeffries and Jerome James and other guys with two J's as their initials and said that we're going to build around these guys and Stephon Marbury. We heard it when Amari Stoudemire came in the summer of 2010 and then nobody else came with him and it was him and Chris Duhon with Mike D'Antoni doing the coaching. And then Carmelo Anthony was coming home and we're constantly fed this thing because it's New York and because, you know, way back when, you know, our dads were very young and vital, the Dave DeBuscher, Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, Bill Bradley, Phil Jackson, New York Knicks, you know, thrilled people to such an extent. I'm leaving out Earl Monroe, nobody get on me. But it's I could go on and on and on about how much I hate the just wasted breath out of New York about stuff. And now we have team president Steve Mills talking about the allure of the Knicks and how we're getting our culture right and we're going to go out looking for free agents. The interesting part about this to me with Irving that makes me think, well, maybe this isn't just a guy who wants to go home and wants the allure of New York, is that Jimmy Butler's in the talk too. It's always the Olympic team. There's always friendships formed in the Olympics that are going to last a lifetime, and they always want to team up somewhere down the road. Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving, I guess, friends from their Olympic experience. Maybe they're both going to the Knicks if the Knicks can clear enough cap
room. Butler wants to go to the Lakers. That's where he wants to be.
Think so?
Yes.
All right.
Is that I believe?
Yeah, that's
what I believe he wants to be with the Lakers.
Okay.
I think he's number one on LeBron's wish list.
Okay. Look, and it sounds like Butler is done with Minneapolis, and there's some issue between him and Karl-Anthony Towns there. So, okay. All right. Yeah.
Jimmy Butler likes to put effort into his games, and the rest of that T-Wolves team just doesn't.
But if he were to land with the Knicks with Kyrie next summer, that's a pretty formidable top, you know, big three that you have there.
Absolutely.
With those two Kristaps Porzingis. Still, I look at that team as one of the dregs of the league now.
Absolutely.
One of the things, so it's been squashed, but that James Dolan story that he was thinking about selling them and the Rangers. Mm-hmm. So I just brought this up with Gasper on Saturday. Like, say, you know what would make that team a destination? Like, you know, their team president's trying to say that they are now, which they're not, even with Porzingis. What would make that team a destination is if Dolan sold it and you had some sort of conglomerate that was maybe like Jay-Z and Diddy, and they pulled
dynamic,
their money together, and then they became the owners of the Knicks, and then they tried to, you know, market that team a little bit better. It would truly become a destination. Like, okay, wanting to go to the LA Clippers. It's just it's a bad destination in the league. You go there to lose. It's not truly about basketball. It's about trying to get your name out there. Mm-hmm. You'd be in LA, but not with the Lakers, so you don't really have to put in all that much effort. You collect an easy paycheck, and it'd be the same for Kyrie going to the Knicks. You want to weigh in on this as well? 617-779-0985. We have one open line if you want to join us on our long commercial-free segment coming up next, along with free tickets. Tickets for you to Monday Night Raw, WWE Monday Night Raw, coming up in our long commercial-free segment here at Felger and Mazz, 98.5, a sports hub.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mazz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back, Felger and Maz. No Mike and Tony today, so it's Jim Murray and Sean Silver and you at 617-779-0985. Back to your phone calls in just a second. Just want to give you a heads up, though. In this segment, before the Hub headlines with Sean Silver at the top of the hour, I will have for you a pair of tickets to Monday Night Raw returning to the Garden next Monday, July 9th. So we'll be listening for that coming up here in minutes here in Felger and Maz. Let's go to Pete in Delaware as a thought on Kawhi Leonard. You're next here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, as far as Kawhi goes, I do not want him because I do not want to have two superstars on our team that are more worried about boosting their image than winning. I want guys who want to win, and if they have to trade him beforehand, I don't care. I just don't need two of these guys because you guys know this whole year is supposed to be about trying to win a championship, and this Kyrie, where you're going to be next year, is going to dominate a lot of that, and I hate seeing that because we wait a long time to have a winner.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, if they did make a deal for him and say it was just something low that I'm willing to make, the only deal I'd be willing to make is approve the Celtics of making, not that they need my approval, but you know what I mean, is Terry Rozier and, you know, take a couple of picks. You want to take the Sacramento pick as well for Kawhi Leonard, even if he doesn't agree to a long-term extension, Sean. But still, if you had him and Kyrie next year and they'd both be getting peppered with questions, are you going to re-up, are you going to stay, where are you going to go, are you thinking about leaving, like both of those guys, like that potentially could become a big distraction,
takes away from the focus. I'm just kind of wondering with Kyrie, because I think that, you know, if you can get something for him, something substantial, then you got to trade him just because of that question. But to me, like, are we turning on Kyrie too? Has anything other than the fact that he made an Uncle Drew movie sponsored by Pepsi, and there's a bobblehead in the other room there,
which, of course, was made when he was still with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I feel like people have forgotten that.
Right. But other than that, has he given us any indication to think that he is chasing, you know, the bright lights and he's a self-promoter? I mean, his whole entire time here, at least the 60 games he played last year, he was a complete team player, you know, really spearheaded things with Gordon Hayward out, bought into the system with Brad. It was very clear that he adapted and was really an exemplary Celtic right up until his knee got shredded.
No, I think, if anything, we've probably collectively, you know, in all of sports talk and even just sitting around bars yammering about it as Celtics fans, we've probably made too much about it because we've had nothing to talk about because this is usually the slowest time of year to do this kind of thing. It's just that, you know, he hasn't fully committed and come out and said what I think what most people would want to hear is, yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Like, so we want a little head pat from
absolutely.
Kyrie. Just like, hey, Boston fans.
I mean, Maz has said it before, and I agree. Like, lie to us. Lie to us if you have to. But look, he has to explore all options. It would be financially irresponsible for him to, you know, re-up right now. So he's going to wait until next summer. But until that happens, if he decides to stay here, like, he's going to continue to get peppered with questions. But I'm honestly, like, my gut, like, I'm not that worried about it. I really, like, I think he's going to be here long term.
They can give him a supermax if they want to do it. They can do it, and I mean, that would be silly for him to leave that on the table just because New York beckons.
Put it to you another way, I'm more concerned about his knee holding up than I am about him leaving.
Yeah,
that's all. Let's go to Matt in Gloucester with an NFL thought. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Big Tim, Sean, thanks for taking my call. I stumbled across your Twitter feed, and I happened to watch that Jay Cutler clip with his wife. So it looks like Brady's not the only one. And I wanted to ask your opinion about what percentage of professional athletes try to hang on too long because of exactly this, you know, the significant other. And I thought back to Brett Favre. Maybe he really did want to retire every year, but every year his wife drove him back to the game.
Maybe, yeah. So, Matt, and thanks for the call, Matt. We have the clip here for those that that don't know what he's referencing. I tweeted about this the other day. It's a promotional clip from this new show. I think it's going to be on Bravo, starring Kristen Cavallari, Jay Cutler's wife, who used to be on The Hill. I think it's called Very Cavallari, if I have that correct. Either way.
Is that so?
Yeah. Yeah, so what he's alluding to is this clip, and maybe this is what Brady is having to deal with Giselle, and how she, I think, despises the fact that Tom Brady is still playing football at this age, and he wants to continue to do it, and I think she looks at it as a stupid game. Listen to this, and I'm sorry, like, if you can't get annoyed by this as a man, a football fan, like, I don't know, you don't have a pulse. Go ahead.
Hey.
Yo.
What's that?
Sweet.
What?
That elk my dad killed.
Oh, God.
Why are you so dressed up?
To work? What's on tap for you today?
I've got a big 2:30 appointment.
Picking up boys from school.
Picking up boys at school.
Uh-huh.
Want to be first in line.
Always.
Beat all the other moms there.
But, like, honestly, what do you do all day?
I like to keep myself pretty free, so if something does pop up, bounce right into it.
So you think that you're 100% done with football?
I mean, you can't say 100. Probably.
When will you know if you're 100%?
September.
Yeah, like the first football game.
Yeah.
You have to realize how many sacrifices I have had to make over the 8 football seasons that we've been together. So now you need to support what I have going on. This is my football. This is my turn.
All right, yeah, that's your turn. This stupid show and, you know, another reality show. And I get this. Maybe I got to take this with a little bit of grain of salt because I'm reading too much into a full reality show. But I think there's some reality there in that conversation. Like, there's real annoyance in her voice along with that vocal fry thing. Oh, my God, I hate that so much.
I was going to say, man, I've just looked at, you know, Kristen Cavallari for years and been like, oh, there's that attractive chick who was on an MTV show many years ago.
The hills, yeah.
Right? So I'd never heard her talk for any reason, and it's just like, oh my God. No.
Had to put up with that for 8 years.
What is even going on with
what
that?
What sacrifices did you have to make in 8 years? It's only, I don't know, it's 6 or 7 months. It's Jay Cutler we're talking about, so it's not like he's putting in a lot of effort the other days and months of the year. Okay, mm-hmm. You have to travel a little bit, or you don't see him a handful of months. Oh, what an ingrate.
How many kids they have?
I think they have 2.
She been doing that all by herself?
Probably not, you know? No, considering the money. I know they're anti-vaxxers, too, and don't even get me going on that. But my God, that clip, it sent me through the roof. I'm just like, how ungrateful can you sound? And it also reminded me, as a Patriots fan, I'm like, this is what Brady probably goes through. Like, that kind of thing. Like, oh, I've had to make so many sacrifices over the last 8 years. What sacrifices? Again, you got to travel a little bit. Maybe you don't see your man all that much. There's an internal deal you make with yourself at times in your life. Now, granted, I've found the one, I'm good. But when I was dating, maybe you know, you're a married man, Sean.
Sure.
So maybe you had to deal with this during the dating days. If you ended up with someone who's like wildly hot or out of your league, there's an internal deal you'll make with yourself as a man once in a while that you'll say, I'm willing to put up with a lot of crap here because of how attractive this girl is. I'm willing to put up with a lot of BS. But there's a limit. That, like, I don't care. Like, Jay Cutler, he's a pro football player, or maybe about to be ex-pro football player. He can get by. He'd find someone else.
Maybe a broadcaster.
Yeah, maybe a broadcaster, whatever. He's got a mountain of money, all right? He's got a hell of a resume. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't have to want for anyone, even if he moved on from Kristen Cavallari. Like, dude, like, you're willing to put up with that? Boy, that is real love. Because I know I wouldn't. That would be like, I see that one clip and I hear that kind of stuff. Enough. You're going to break my balls over this?
She sounds insufferable.
Oh, God.
And that clip being some sort of a tease for a TV show. I mean, that sounds like they had a script, they read the lines once, and they forgot everything that they had to say. I mean, that just sounds, well, I don't know.
It sounds like the man is in hell. That's what I hear.
That sounds like watching that would be absolute hell.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.